When Jody Zappia learned that her husband Ron had been unfaithful, she agreed to go to pastoral counseling, to marriage counseling. What she didn't expect was that in the marriage counseling, she'd have to examine her own heart and her own life.
The truth of the matter is I knew that I had sin in my life. You know, I had done some things in college that I was pretty sure was not good. So we were sitting there. I just didn't think I was going to be talking about it that day. But he was not going to let up on me, and I thank God for that. Because if he hadn't been so persistent, one person would have walked out of there saved, and I'd have been in bad shape. I'd have got what I went there for, maybe, but I wouldn't have experienced the grace of God.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Ron and Jody Zappia's time with a pastor, a marriage counselor, was the beginning of the resurrection of their marriage. We'll hear more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. We're hearing a powerful story this week from a couple who, I chuckle, they've written a book called The Marriage Knot, and that's K-N-O-T, because I was thinking a little of The Marriage Knot, because that was almost the
good
case with this.
Good clarification.
Kind of tied in
that's how it started.
That's exactly how it started.
The couple who are joining us, Ron and Jody Zappia. Guys, welcome back to Family Life Today. Yeah. Yeah. These are friends of yours. You've done ministry together. Ron and Jody give leadership to a church in the western suburbs of Chicago, High Point Church. You've been there for almost 2 decades now, right?
Yeah, totally.
Parents of 3 daughters, and as we've already heard this week, you guys met each other in junior high, dated off and on throughout high school and college, got married, corporate fast-tracking for both of you, living apart for part of the first 6 months of your marriage, and all of that came to a head when, Jody, you walked in one night to surprise your husband, and you got the surprise and found that he was with another woman. Mm-hmm. And that led to the crisis point that brought you guys to going, okay, what do we do? And I was thinking, as I heard you tell your story this week, thinking about the couples we see all the time at our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. Most of those couples are in a good spot in their marriage, but we've got couples every weekend who are joining us whose marriages have been rocked by the kinds of things that rocked your marriage. And I'm just mentioning that here because of the Dave and Ann Wilson special that our team put together in honor of you guys being the new hosts for Family Life Today this week. If our listeners are interested in attending any of the 16 remaining Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways that we've got between now and the end of June, they can save 40% off the regular registration fee as long as they contact us this week and let us know that they'd like the Dave and Ann Wilson special. So go to familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY and find out more about the Weekend to Remember Marriage getaway. And your marriage does not have to be in crisis to attend. In fact, as I said, most marriages aren't. But it's a great getaway, and every couple needs a refresher like this for their marriage. Ron, when your marriage hit the wall, you were shattered, and Jody, you were the planner who said, well, I'm giving myself a 2-week deadline to decide whether I divorce him or not. And you put that in your Franklin planner and then got counsel from a stranger who said you should go to this marriage workshop at a local church. Mm-hmm. And that's where you ended up. This was 2 nights after the affair.
Days.
You are in a marriage workshop at a local church. You hadn't been to church together ever, right?
No.
And Ron, you said you're hearing things you've never heard about being a husband before, and God was at work on both of you.
Yeah, it really was. And I mean, for us, you know, obviously it was devastation. And, you know, I was making choices that, you know, living a lifestyle and doing some things that I wish I wouldn't have. But we were, you know, I was broken. And, you know, I mean, I think about what Jody could have done that night. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that people could respond in a lot of very, very different ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately, we went to this marriage workshop, and Jody had wanted to, you know, talk with a pastor, meet with a pastor, because we weren't getting our questions answered. One specific question, you know, can I get a divorce? And so we wound up getting a counseling meeting with this pastor, And it was a very interesting meeting. Now being in ministry, I mean, we grew up with a non-church background. I mean, I was in the business world. There was no pathway to ministry. And, you know, we were looking at each other and we went to this counseling meeting. And the pastor said to us, he said, well, I've got about 45 minutes, you know, to meet with you. And
to I thought, fix your marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that's a good technique.
So yeah. Anybody, you know, Dave, and Jody, did you think, well, okay, this 45 minutes, I will know whether yes. I should stay or not. Yeah,
absolutely. Totally. Yeah. I thought I was going to get a check mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and he said, and this was the pivotal point, you know, he just said, you know, we can talk about how messed up your marriage is and all of that, or we can talk about the grace and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I needed forgiveness.
That was a really interesting meeting for me because, again, I really thought yeah. the spotlight was going to be on Ron. He was going to be convicted guilty.
Yeah.
And I was
right.
going to walk out of there with my okay or whatever.
Your check mark.
Yes. But so he mentioned something like, you know, yeah, the mess you're in or God's plan or something. I guess I looked at it as there's probably not much redeeming we can get out of the mess we're in. So it sounds like this other thing maybe will be more helpful.
And he started explaining the gospel to us. And, you know,
he zeroed in on our sin. So we did end up talking about the mess we were in because what I remember out of it is, I thought the whole spotlight was going to be on Ron. Yeah. And he kept putting it back on me because Ron broke pretty easily. Like, he knew what he did was wrong. And he was what our friend pastor who has said now is he feels like he witnessed Ron's repentance right then and there.
Wow.
Because Ron was saying, you know, recognizing that he didn't like the person he'd become. I don't even like me right now.
Yeah.
And he also recognize that he had sinned not only against me but against God, which again, that's the Holy Spirit, because that just wasn't even in our vocabulary, but that happened there. And that even kind of bothered me. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it was me you sinned against. You know?
But honestly, though, just to stop for a moment on that one thing and say this, like, and I know how that sounds. I mean, because the after effects of the lifestyle that I was involved in this relationship, I mean, it trashed us, it had trashed our marriage, it had trashed Jody, people who are in sin and living lifestyles of such where it does, the waves wreck everything, the home, these things. But you got to understand something. I didn't realize that I had sinned against God. I never even made that connection of, that I didn't really know. I didn't really care. I never thought about God. I never really understood. The first time I heard the gospel, I responded. I mean, and again, and now that's not to say that, you know, but would I have responded when I was in college? I don't know, probably not, because my heart was hard. And I know now what, you know, 2 Corinthians 4 says is that, you know, the enemy of this world has blinded those. And so I was in a place where I had nowhere to turn. Okay. And so when he, you know, gave me a pathway of forgiveness, I mean, I took it, man, the lifeline. I didn't want to be the person I had become. I had hurt the most important person in my life. I mean, if I was honest, I wanted to get discovered because I was doing something I couldn't stop.
And so, Jody, for you, it was easy to see Ron's apparent sin.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see your own sin?
Well, the truth of the matter is I knew that I had sin in my life. You know, I had done some things in college that I was pretty sure was not good. And I felt shame. I can remember feeling that sometimes on campus. And so we were sitting there. I just didn't think I was going to be talking about it that day. And I didn't really want to talk about it that day. but he was not going to let up on me. And I thank God for that. Because if he hadn't been so persistent, one person would have walked out of there saved, and I'd have been in bad shape. I'd have got what I went there for, maybe, but I wouldn't have experienced the grace of God.
Did he just keep coming at you until you broke?
Yeah, he just was. I had to confess some very specific sin, and I remember getting angry with him. He specifically asked me about, so did you and Ron, you know, did you have premarital sex? And I remember thinking, who is he to ask me that question right now? You know, like, I was
not. Yeah, what's that have to do with anything?
Exactly.
This is Ron's problem.
Exactly. And
honestly,
I was mad.
I
didn't want to deal with that today, you know. And well, yes, but I remember, you know, I was so justified, like, because he was the only person and I married him, you know, and I was justified in that because I had all these little things I was building my life on, trying to be a nice person. And it was just becoming very apparent that I was just as sinful as Ron. And I didn't plan on, you know, dealing with it that day, but
well, he said specifically, though, hon. He said specifically.
He said, "Oh, so then you said it was okay to have sex outside of marriage."
And when he said that, I mean, this girl was ready to attack this guy.
So you
invited. Wow.
When he said, I'll never forget that.
I said, I did not. Yeah. I would never say that.
I mean, honestly,
And then he said, well, you know, actions speak louder than words. And I remember just, I remember being mad and yet at the same time, like, oh, you know, like he was right. Like he got me. So basically, it became apparent that I needed forgiveness just as much as Ron did.
Do you remember turning from anger to being self-aware and going, oh
yes.
My, I am guilty before God?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it was almost like a battle going on there because I would go from being so mad to then being like, oh, he got me. Like,
did you,
yes, well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I got sin. I know that. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah. Did you guys surrender that day?
We did.
Your lives to Christ?
We did.
We both, what did that look like? Was it a prayer? Was it a...
Yeah, it was a prayer. And, you know, we didn't understand. I mean, honestly, you know, he said a prayer. You know, it's a version
said,
of the sinner's
prayer. He said,
would
you like to get forgiveness from that sin? And we're like,
yeah. And we, you know, again, we looked at each other, tears in our eyes. Yeah, like, yeah. And I don't know what led to that, honestly. And part of it is I look back, we had a really strong friendship and relationship. And, you know, God was breaking us down. He had to break me down. I knew the reason we were in this counseling meeting was because of me, because of my sin, because of my fault, because of what I had done. So I was ready. I would have done anything to get rid of that guilt. And he led us in a prayer. It was October 31st. I'll never forget. It was I can tell you the
Halloween,
exact time.
Huh?
Yeah. We like to call that Reformation Day. Where I come from.
And I'm saying a lot of people are down. I mean, it was a good day for us too. So yeah. But I remember the time. I remember where I was standing. I remember walking out of that counseling office. Mm-hmm. It was fall. It was dark.
Well, I remember asking the question, like, "Hey,
what's next?
What about the marriage?"
Yeah.
You know, because we got off on this tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, you know, I had to figure out, is he supposed to be moving out?
You know,
real practical things.
Hurt and betrayal and trust. I mean, that's all still broken. There.
Yeah. Right.
Even though you both just surrendered to Christ, you still got a lot of, you got a lot of shrapnel.
Yeah, now what?
Yeah.
Although, you know, it is interesting it was Halloween because it's like, think of that. It's the first time maybe in your marriage the mask came off.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, you had covered up, you'd hidden, you put on what we do at Halloween, and now they're gone, and it's like, okay.
You really saw each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was
forget.
Reformation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then what happened? What's that look like?
I mean, I can speak from my perspective. I mean, I walked out of there, and I don't remember if, you know, we were walking next to each other. We drove there. I mean, that's craziness as it is. I mean.
Yeah, let me ask, Jody, did you like Ron? Did you like him at that time?
No, she didn't, and she ought not to, because the things that I were doing were foolish and stupid.
It's hard to say. I remember thinking like, well, yeah, sure, you can come along. But it was kind of an indifference.
I was like just tagging along. And so she was like, I've been through this before. This is an act. What's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't believe it. And so she was fortunate enough to let me come along. It was like, okay, I'll let you prove it out. And you're going to drop out of this thing. And I didn't drop out because it was real. It was the first time in my life that I was learning things that could help me. I walked out of that meeting. I can't speak for Jody, but I'm telling you, man, like the weight was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel it. You know, I hear it. And maybe there's someone listening today where you're trapped. You can't stop that behavior. You have the guilt, the shame. Everyone's looking at you. I walked out of there with the freedom and the forgiveness mm-hmm. that changed the trajectory of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel it. And, you know, we have one of those lightning rod mm-hmm. moment stories where I was struck. God healed. I didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what the marriage was going to, you know, if it was even going to survive. But mm-hmm. I was walking out there with a new lease on life. I was walking out there with a second chance that I desperately wanted and needed.
Unrelated to the marriage, really, because at that
it
point.
It wasn't about the marriage.
One of the funniest things that the pastor said when I asked the question, hey, what about the marriage? You know, what are we supposed to? He said, well, I don't know what's going to happen with your marriage.
Dave, as a pastor, think about that.
Soul.
Think of that as a pastor.
Hey, I don't know this pastor, but man, oh man, he's pretty unorthodox.
He's a bulldog.
Yeah, he is.
He's
like, I don't know. And we're like, and we didn't know either. But
he had an engineering
trust.
Background.
Well, you had given the marriage 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you'd make a decision in 2 weeks what you're going to do. So we get to the 2 week deadline.
We become Christians.
You become Christians in the process. So when you're there with that Thursday on your planner, are you thinking, well, I guess divorce isn't an option anymore? Is that what you were thinking?
No. Not necessarily. Yeah. However, I will say, like, the decision about him moving out, because that was another critical thing that was supposed to get taken care of that day.
Were you guys living together still at that point?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But he was looking. He was looking at apartments, and we thought it was going that direction. But the pastor asked a couple of key questions. You know, had the affair ended, done? And Ron said yes, and, you know, definitively. And then he said, okay, well, then it would probably be best if you guys stayed together, because you've just experienced this new thing, this new relationship that's starting with God, and it would probably be good for you to, you know, see. I don't know. He kind of just indicated that because the affair was over, we should probably not get separated. Mm-hmm. And so I just trusted him, and we didn't get separated.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing because, you know, there's fruit of repentance.
And you started to see some of that.
Yes. And if we hadn't been together, I think I still would have been a little leery that, oh, well, sure, he's on his best behavior.
What kind of things did you see?
I did see a couple changes. I knew him so well that I knew they were things that were not in his control. So, and it's like something as silly as, you know, the Tupperware falling out of the top shelf, you know, on top of him when he grabbed one thing. You know, in the past, that would have been a huge, Jody, you know, it would have been a major.
Some words that should not be said on the radio.
Exactly.
Things like
your
that.
Fault. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my fault. And it would have been a big, you know, and it wasn't him, you know, and I knew it was stuff he couldn't really control. And so that got my attention. And then what was really funny is as I saw these couple of things, even like I think alcohol too, he was right away, there was just not that he.
And that was a contributor to the breakdown.
Yeah, it contributed.
And just,
yeah,
you know,
and it was social.
Cold
we
turkey.
Were just social
gone.
Drinkers.
So you were done.
Yeah,
like, done. I'm not going to drink anymore.
Yeah, he recognized. So I saw some things like that that no one told him to do either.
You recognize that inhibitions get tampered with when you have a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Your
you're
guard
the member
goes
of the
down.
Opposite sex.
Yeah.
Did you keep the same job?
I didn't.
Left.
Yeah, I left
I
the job. Yeah,
you so, left because so I had to, of this woman.
That was a
it was
big
God's
part
provision.
Of the reason.
Yeah. It was God's provision. He had really just been literally in the interview process with this other thing, and it was determined at that point he was definitely going to, you know, take this other job.
And we would say, you know, that there has to be some fruit if you're in that situation. Certainly we wouldn't tell somebody to stay in a damaging and difficult situation when there's no change and when that's not happening. But I think, you know, I was making decisions that were such to where Jody could see some things changing. And that was really pivotal. And, you know, what the pastor did, one of the things we learned is we talk about the marriage triangle. And so it's so simple. But imagine a triangle in your mind right now, and with God at the top, and you know you're on the left corner, and your spouse is on the right corner. And he just said this, you know, he didn't tell us about the marriage and whether it was going to work. He just said, you know, as you move up one side of the triangle, and the other person moves upside the other triangle, like right now at the bottom, you guys are both really far apart. Do you see that? Do you see that? He's circling it,
and
then
and
he's you know drawing it up
was
there.
Work on this relationship with God.
Yeah.
So as you work on
move
your relationship with
triangle.
God, he works on his. We get closer together.
And the distance in the middle is going to be the same. And there's no guarantee that I would do it, she would do it, but that's what we began to do. And how silly and simple it seems, we began to develop a relationship with God that we didn't have.
I love how Dave and Ann talk about this. And I've said this over and over to so many people in so many places. But
have you, Bob? That's nice to know.
And I attribute you about 30% of the time.
30%?
Most of the time, I just take the glory for myself.
I'll take
it. But since you're here today.
It's the statement that you guys have made, which is if you want to get this relationship, the horizontal relationship, husband and wife relationship, you want to get that
right.
You got to get this relationship. And now you're pointing upward.
Vertical.
You got to get the vertical relationship right. Yeah. So it's what the heart of vertical marriage, the book that you've written.
Yeah.
And if there's a problem in the horizontal relationship, that's an indication there's a problem in the vertical relationship. You fix the vertical relationship, the horizontal relationship can work its way out, right?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that's what that pastor
that's
really
exactly what it was.
Showed you. We've gone through the same thing, and it's really cool to think the miracle of you guys going vertical is now God's using that to help other couples, not just through your book, but everything you do. But I got to ask this.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching Ron change. Did you change? And especially, how did you get to forgiveness?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny because it did. It all just went hand in hand. I started seeing him change, and I do remember feeling kind of like a little excitement.
Like, were you hopeful but hesitant?
Yeah, I would say that because I remember my mom saying, you can't change a person. People don't change.
Wow.
So you made your bed, you sleep in it, or you know, you're not going to change them at the altar or whatever. You don't alter them at the altar or something like that. So I started seeing, like, people can change. And if he can change, then I can change. And so then I remember, I think I started praying more, like making sure that this, whatever we did in the pastor's office, stuck for me too, you know, because I saw him changing. But I thought, well, I want to change. I want to be different too. And so that was going on. And then the issue of forgiveness was definitely hanging over my head. I will say that because I, too, when we left that meeting, had the same sense that Ron did of the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. Mm. And honestly, even the weight of making this decision on Thursday about a divorce. You know, again, like how you mentioned, give it time. You know, you don't have to make this quick decision. You don't have to make it this week. And that was freeing to me to not feel like I had this big, huge decision
deadline
I had to make. Yeah, that I could just give this some time and God was going to show me now. Like, I now was on a path where I was going to get answers. And that's what started happening. And one of the big questions was, I kind of understood I need to forgive him. Mm-hmm. That was rooted in the fact that I had this sense that I had just been forgiven everything. And I didn't know much of the Bible, but I do remember in the past having come across the verse where, like, if you don't forgive your brother, I won't forgive you. You know, I remember reading that once, and that closed the Bible because it was like, oh, boy, I'm in trouble. Yeah, that was one of those moments where, uh-oh, I'm not as good off as I thought I was. So I had this sense that I knew because I'd been forgiven everything, I was not in a position to withhold forgiveness. Yeah. So I understood that. But the issue of trust was the bigger deal.
Right.
Like, well, I can forgive him, but I don't have to stay married to him.
Well, and this is really important for couples to hear because there is a difference between forgiveness and trust.
Yes.
And forgiveness is a choice and a decision we can make.
Right.
Trust is something
to be earned.
That has to be over. So here's my formula.
Oh, good.
There's a formula for rebuilding trust. It's CB over T. Is the formula. Consistent behavior over time equals trust.
Yeah.
Want to rebuild trust in somebody in your life, you have to see a pattern of consistent behavior, that there is a difference, that things have changed, and that's consistent over time. And people will say to me, well, how much time?
Yeah.
And I will go, as long as it takes. How deep did the wound go?
Yeah.
That's how long it's going to take. And it, somebody go, well, like a couple of months? Well, it might take a year. We don't know because it's how deep did the wound go?
And the amount of time is in the hands of the one who was violated.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It isn't the one who violated. It's like I say to husbands all the time, or wives, if you're the one who's committed the affair or broken the trust, you hand them your phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you can see me where I am every second. They look at me like, are you crazy? I've repented.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may take a year.
And the person who's been violated can't just refuse to grant trust. Then they have to ask, have I really forgiven? Right?
Right.
Because you can say I've forgiven and still hold on to bitterness. Mm. But if you've let go of the bitterness and if you've really forgiven, then the posture of your heart should be, I want to be able to trust you again.
Yeah.
I want us to get to this position. So let's work together to make that happen.
But the reality is this, when you're in the situation, and I can only imagine, I mean, I learned, let's just stop on the forgiveness thing for a moment. I learned from forgiveness from Jody. Mm. I learned God's forgiveness, what that was about, as she forgave.
Oh,
it was earth shattering, and I saw her. But then I needed to affirm, because I knew I had damaged and I had broken the trust. I had to affirm her and I had to slow down. And she emotionally, there was times where I had to affirm my commitment to her over and over, just like you guys are saying. It had to be, I had to say it. I'm committed to you, this. I had to verbalize it, which was not easy for me because I wasn't a verbal person at that point in my life.
Ron, was there a point that you had to forgive yourself?
You know, I think I was so broken and shattered that I think the Lord's forgiveness really helped me understand that. I think for me, I would just say it like this. I was caught in a situation to where, for me, I was so broken that when I sensed the healing from God, I think I would verbalize it like this, that I do have a fresh start. I can change. I can look different. My life can be different. You know, one of the things, I believed it too. I believed that people couldn't change. I mean, and some of our listeners right now, you think people can't change. I mean, I believed it when I was in college. And the reason I thought that was because I couldn't change. I mean, Thursday night, the school I went to, it was like, and I was an athlete. And, you know, Friday morning, get up and, you know, you got the hangover and, you know, we would look at each other. Man, I can't. I would say to my roommates, man, I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing this. And they're like, you can't stop doing this. And that's one of the things for me that God rooted some things out and I could be different. The new you was there. And I believe that was as a result of God's forgiveness. I saw myself as a different person in a different light.
And I would add this, and I know you guys agree with this. It's like, can people change?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Because part of me is like, we can change in our own strength a little bit and maybe for a little while, but permanent, life-changing, life-altering, legacy-transforming change, you guys found it. It's in Jesus. It's in a power supernaturally that we don't have. And so your story is a picture of that. So I would say to anybody listening right now, if you don't know Jesus, man, this is the day to get on your knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the day to bow your head and say, God, I've been trying to change. I want to change. I want long-term change. I can't change my spouse, but I can change me.
Right.
No, I can't. God, you can.
Right.
I surrender. When they go vertical, when they do what you did, what we did, they do what we do. God changes people inside out through the Holy Spirit resurrection, supernatural power of God.
Yeah.
And it literally has consequences that will change your legacy forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got the president of Family Life, David Robbins, who has been joining us here today. And David, you love hearing about...
I mean, what a great story, right?
Yeah.
This is amazing. I love changed life stories. Every changed life story and how God enters into someone's story is different and not exactly the same, but there's also usually some commonalities. One in particular is that God must bring us to the end of ourselves. We must get to the point where we're like Ron and he knew he couldn't change on his own, or we're like Jody and she became convinced of her need. But there's another consistent commonality. That's when someone points the way, when someone's a guide pointing you to Jesus and to the hope that can be found in him. They aren't the ones with the power to forgive or to bring change, but they still play a vital role in God's work as they point those who are at the end of themselves to where they can find hope and find Jesus.
I'm thinking about Philip and Nathaniel and how one said, "Here, come and see." He was described as one beggar showing another where to find bread. That's just a great picture for us.
Absolutely. And we all get to participate in it. If we are a follower of Jesus, he invites us into the joy of filling the role of being an ambassador of his from time to time. As you're in relationships with people around you, on your street, in your work, in the schools that your kids go to, listen and look for those who are in need and are searching for faith and are coming to the end of themselves. Often, that is God's invitation for you to point the way to the one who can forgive and bring new life.
And I remember somebody saying, it's as simple as this. If you see somebody who's hurting, just ask them, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And just see how they respond to that. You'll be amazed. Almost nobody will say, no, I'd prefer you didn't pray for me.
Yeah. Just moving toward them and entering into their journey.
Yeah. Good word. Thank you, David. I hope our listeners will get copies of the book that Ron and Jody have written called The Marriage Knot, Seven Choices That Keep Couples Together. We've got the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com. And I hope a lot of our listeners will take advantage of what we've come to call the Dave and Ann Wilson special around here this week. You can sign up for one of our remaining Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. We've got 16 more of these events happening this spring. And if you sign up this week, you can save 40% off the regular registration fee. We're doing this to welcome Dave and Ann here as the new hosts on Family Life Today and to encourage you to spend a weekend together as a couple and get away and build into your marriage relationship. Find out more about the getaway and how to save 40%. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow we're going to hear about the process of rebuilding trust after there's been betrayal in a marriage relationship. Ron and Jody Zappia will be back with us again. Hope you can be back as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.